any idea what time it is?
This is Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson.
I'm on and on with the water.
It's time for your weekly grape encounter. And I'll tell you what, I have been on the road for, gosh, I don't know how long I've been on the road. All I know is that I'm running out of clean clothes and it's time to stop someplace and do a little bit of laundry. Last stop in California is really an exciting, wonderful place to introduce you to. And it's got a lot of history. I got to start by telling you this. I woke up this morning in the most idyllic place that you can possibly imagine. It's in Gold Country. It's outside of the town of Placerville, and it's called the Eden Vale Inn. And it's a bed and breakfast like no other. This property was built inside of a barn. They literally took an old barn that looked like it was falling down, and then they started building this bed and breakfast from the inside out and have created a real work of art. The property has unimaginable gardens, incredibly inventive rooms, every conceivable perk and amenity that you can possibly imagine. I had an amazing breakfast, and then it was off to El Dorado Wine Country. It's kind of the Napa Valley of Reno and Tahoe. So it's really, really close to the Nevada border, relatively in between, let's say, Tahoe and the state capital of California, Sacramento. It's El Dorado County. You don't think of it really as being wine country, but there's a lot, and I mean a lot of wine here, a lot to see. And I'll tell you what, if you're wanting to get away from the usual wine tasting experience where you're going in and the wine bar is three or four people deep and you're going to pay $30 for a tasting and it's going to be a bit more like an amusement park than a wine experience, and the roads are crowded and it's bumper to bumper and all that, this is where you want to come because it's got a lot of things going for it. First, beautiful. Like beautiful beyond your wildest imagination. Try finding a wine country where there are actually tall pines. Good luck with that. You can go through all of this wine country region and not see grapes because they're kind of hidden away in clearings where I think actually some of it was cleared for cattle at one point in time in many cases, but now they've planted grapes there. A lot of wineries, great wines, different characteristics than what you're used to from other regions. You'll be pleased with that, but you'll also be pleased with the very pristine nature of this place. It is very unpretentious. It is very underdeveloped, but not in the case of the wines. They're doing great things with wines here. There's a lot of knowledge here, and a wealth of knowledge is in front of me right now. It's Jonathan Lax. He and his wife have built and run the Cedarville Vineyard, an amazing place that's in a little, you can't really call it a town. It's an area called Fair Play. Fair Play. Where did the name come from, Jonathan?
Well, there are many rumors to the origin of the name, but it had to do with a gun battle that was about to take place over what was most likely a poker game here in what was once a 10,000 person town called Fair Play.
And it's what, like 2,000 now?
You know, in the area, yes. And in the town itself, yeah. There was basically all the infrastructure of most gold rush towns with saloons and assorted other activities that would go along with that. And a lot of, and fairly significant mining encampment. But an argument broke out and there was a gun battle about to commence and someone called out for the rules of fair play.
What does that mean?
I think it means obey the law, act morally. Don't shoot.
Okay. I'd be interested to know who won that gun battle. But you have built a very interesting place. And, you know, you may hear a little bit of echo as we're talking. That's because we're in the winery right now. Very interesting structure. Totally sustainable piece of property. Your electric bill, your power bill, you were telling me, is what? Like $50 a month?
Yes, about $55 a month. Yes, yes, yes. We've designed our winery to be energy efficient with evaporative coolers, which work very well at cooling a building without using refrigeration, tucked into a hillside with underground barrel storage. We're able to be about as low energy impact as we could possibly be.
I can't even begin to describe how amazingly beautiful this area is. You know, a lot of wine regions are beautiful because see these rolling vineyards that sort of go up and down the hillsides and it's all about the grapes. But here, the grapes are intertwined with forest and oaks and unimaginably beautiful vistas. It's really spectacular. And you don't see the, you know, the really pretentious upscale restaurants, but you might find a little pub or cafe on a street corner that'll serve you a meal that you will never forget and you will not pay $300 for it, right?
Very fortunately, yes. Yeah, we're in a location that's still relatively remote. We still live here in Fairplay, about a half an hour from a bank. And so that is part of the rural existence we have here. But we're in that beautiful area where oaks transition into pine forest, which keeps these vineyards fairly secluded, and you won't find anything flat out here.
So how funny is it that I'm using the GPS system on my iPhone to get here, and Siri, we all know Siri, says to me just a little bit before I actually get to the winery, this is as far as the guidance will take you. You will now have to park and walk the rest of the way. You're going to have to park and walk the rest of the way.
Dave Wilson, walk the rest of the way.
Talk about being off the grid. Yeah. As it turns out, I didn't have to walk the rest of the way. But even Siri got lost and she checked out on me.
If you insist.
It's a great way to meet local people, though.
All right. So the first interesting thing about your winery is your romance, because you were a student at Davis. So you're studying enology and you run into this young woman by the name of Susan.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
She's studying enology too?
She is. She's in the same program. Our graduating class was about 27 winemakers, but I actually went up and introduced myself to her at a production plant sanitation class. She didn't remember me.
How romantic is that?
Well,
huh?
She didn't remember me, but I had to reintroduce myself at a wine tasting when we truly officially met. And at Davis, we held our wine tastings at about 10 o'clock at night because it was before air conditioning was invented, evidently. And so we needed to taste in very cool environments.
So you fall in love, you get married, you eventually decide to build your own winery. Why choose El Dorado County as opposed to, you know, many of the other choices that you had?
Well, the reality for folks, Susan and my age, was that the more visible, highly renowned grape growing areas in the North Coast were too expensive. And we knew that we needed to run a business profitably within our means, sustainably, meaning economically sustainably as well as environmentally sustainably. So we set out on a search to look for areas in California that we thought had the highest potential for growing grape, but were perhaps a little undiscovered. A number of our Davis classmates had worked their way up into the Sierra foothills, and a couple had made it up here actually into El Dorado County. And we tasted their wines over the years, and they tasted really true to varietal, yet they had this certain uniqueness to them, this very strong sense of place, which we found really promising. And the remoteness of this area enabled us to find a property that was large enough for us to buy land, plant grapes, build a winery, live full-time, make our living
that
doing this.
That sense of place is really fascinating because it's kind of the difference between New York pizza and Chicago pizza and LA pizza and pizza from Italy. It's all different. It's all pizza, but you can really sense the difference. And there's a certain quality that you taste in the wines here that is not the same as if you're drinking a Napa Cabernet. It's completely different, completely enjoyable, but it's not going to be the same experience. I tasted a Zinfandel that you made that just blew my shorts off. But you might not realize it's a Zinfandel unless I tell you that.
Well, thank you. Yes, you know these.
Is that a compliment?
Yeah, I'll take it as a compliment. It's the unique expression of where we are. And just to give you guys out there listening an idea of where we're located elevationally, we're at 2,500 feet elevation. And our soils here are decomposed granite. And those two factors really influence the character of our wines. Our Zinfandel, for example, even though we pick it ripe, it does not express itself as a raisiny, jammy, dehydrated berry, or sweet character wine. It's more red-fruited, a little crisper and characteristic with a very long finish, and a real sense that this wine needs some time to unfold in the glass and in bottle.
Not as inky and jammy.
Exactly.
Real quickly, we just have a minute left. Here at Cedarville, you make a lot of different things. Had a great Viognier, enjoyed the Zin. The Grenaches are great up here.
Thank you.
Why should people come to El Dorado?
Well, you know, what's really fun about coming out here is we're really having a renaissance in winemaking up here. The level of quality, the understanding of the strong sense of place we have here. It's a really fun to go to an area that I feel is really on the ascent. And what's really neat about making the trek here is that you're going to run into winemakers, pouring wines for you. You're going to want into winery owners.
Yes, exactly.
They're, it's a very, very personal place to go wine tasting. Many people feel like it's Napa Valley 30 years ago when you could run into the people who actually had a hand in crafting the product. And one other thing that's really neat here in El Dorado is that most wineries don't charge for tasting. We're all really glad to see you come and visit us. Now, of course, we all
hope might even invite you to stay the night.
But you all must behave.
Yeah, no, it's a great place. Hey, it's really been a pleasure talking to you, Jonathan. It really is like a step back in time, but a good step back in time. You may not see as many SUVs here, but you'll see station wagons. And it's a cool thing. And people may be still riding in the back of pickup trucks.
Well, thanks for coming to visit, Dave.
Jonathan Lacks, it's Cedarville Vineyard. It's in Fairplay, California, not too far from Tahoe, not too far from Sacramento. That's probably where you want to fly into. Check these guys out online. It's CedarvilleVineyardSingular.com. Check out there. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio after this.
Experience wine country like never before with a Margarita Adventure Zipline Canopy Tour in Paso Robles on California's Central Coast. Soar over vineyards, valleys, and oak trees on four epic zip lines, and learn about the Santa Margarita Ranch's sustainable wine growing methods, diverse wildlife, and legacy as a part of California's famed Mission Trail. See why families are raving about this uniquely thrilling wine country experience. Visit margarita-adventures.com to book your tour today.
That first delightful sip of a fine wine brings so much pleasure. But there's a lot more enjoyment to wine than just the wine. It's the fine gifts and accessories for home entertaining you'll find at epicstyle.com. Even those corks you've been tossing become part of your home's decor with simply beautiful wine bottle cork cages. You've got to see them at epicstyle.com. Wine and hors d'oeuvres won't inadvertently become props in a juggling act when your guests have amazing buffet plates that securely hold both food and your wine glass using just one hand. See how it works at epicstyle.com. And if champagne weren't enough fun in itself, your guests will get a real kick out of the one-of-a-kind top hat ice bucket or delightfully decorated champagne flutes. epicstyle.com. It's where you'll find creative and useful wine accessories and all you need for entertaining in all price ranges, even a huge assortment for under $25. Once you visit epicstyle.com, you'll never entertain without it. epicstyle.com. Fine gifts and accessories for home entertaining.
As a grape encounterist, you know how much fun an hour of conversation about wine can be each week. But there's no way we can pack everything into a show. Listeners just like you are turning the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group into an incredible online community where like-minded wine lovers converse, share information, and inspire each other with posts on a variety of interesting topics. If you haven't discovered your community, join in today on Facebook by entering Grape Encounters Radio.
Don't throw out the wine with the bathwater. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio.
Grape Encounters Radio coming to you from the road. This week we are in beautiful El Dorado County in California. It's really gold country, but now, well, it was gold country. Now it's liquid gold country. And what a great place to come and visit and taste wines. We're going to go out and visit with some more winemakers. We also have some other special surprises for you. But before I do that, I wanted to get into our little mobile studio, Matt Dubow, the gadget guru from epicstyle.com. A little earlier on the show than usual, Matt.
It's always great to be here, so it doesn't matter what time.
But this particular time, I was thinking about the wines that I've tasted so far today. Also, some of the wines that we've been tasting the past couple of weeks. We've been on the road. We've been in Paso Robles. We've been in Carmel Valley. We've been in the Santa Lucia Highlands, Napa Valley. And what's interesting to me is how different the varietals are as you go from place to place. In some cases, these wine regions are only maybe a matter of miles apart, but the wines taste taste different. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. You can definitely taste the difference depending on the region you go to.
I have been stumped a couple of times. I've had somebody serve me a wine that I thought was really terrific, but it wasn't what I thought it was. Have you ever had a glass of, for instance, Merlot and thought it was Cabernet?
I definitely have quite a few occasions, actually.
I've even recently had some Cabernets that I thought were Pinots, and that's really a stretch. I was thinking about some products that you have, which are wine tasting kits.
Yes, and we have a couple different styles of the wine tasting kit.
And I thought, wouldn't it be fun for folks to do this, to really understand the effect that terroir has, you know, the environment, the soil of a specific region has on a particular wine. It would be really fun for you to get a wine tasting kit.
Yes.
I mean, there's some really cool ones. You guys sell them. I guess you could use brown paper bags, but that'd be kind of tacky, I think.
You could. We have a couple different styles. One is a tasting kit that has a couple jute bags and they're numbered. And there's also some instructions within the bag itself. So that really kind of tells you how to do your own little wine tasting.
Did the jute bag precede the jute box?
I think it did.
Music to my ears. Anyway, jute is kind of like burlap.
Yeah, I equate it to a potato sack.
Burlap.
Yeah, okay.
You didn't grow up on a farm like I did.
I did not.
You didn't have to throw sacks of feed into the barn from the flatbed truck.
No, just feed in my mouth.
We grew the cows that Matt ate. Anyway. All right, so you've got these different tasting kits. So you've got the jute bags.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And then we have another one that actually, we have paper wraps, and they're colorful numbers that go around the label. Those are really easy to apply. It's almost like an adhesive that goes around the label, and they're all numbered.
So I'm looking at this. It's actually a label that covers up the label that's on the bottle, so you can't see what's in it.
Correct.
And there you go.
Correct.
Now, the reason I'm encouraging folks to do this, because I think that we have preconceptions, and those preconceptions are often misconceptions about what a wine is going to taste like because of the place that the wine came from. Almost nobody does blind tastings at home. Would you agree?
I have done quite a few, actually.
Well, you are the exception to almost every rule.
I'll take that as a compliment.
No, you are. You're the exception to most every rule. But do you, I mean, honestly, don't you think that for the most part, people just buy what they think they're going to like and they drink it. And when they do compare, they have the bottle sitting side by side and they'll look at one and they'll go, oh, well, that's a Napa Cabernet. It must be better than this one that's not a Napa Cabernet, et cetera, right?
Right. I definitely agree.
And so that's why I think that tasting bags are important, because it not only takes away the prejudice of the place, it takes away the prejudice of the varietal as well. Because you might not like a Cabernet from Napa Valley because it may be too big and bold for you, but you might really love these high country Cabernets that are coming from right here in El Dorado County. I mean, they're lighter and they're just, they've got a whole different style to them. I bet you anything, if somebody were to put one of these bottles into one of your juke bags,
yes,
put a quarter in and play their favorite song. No, if you were to do that, you might be surprised that it's not the varietal that you necessarily dislike. It's just you're picking the wine from the wrong place.
I agree.
Maybe the big cab lover is not going to love the cab from a different region. Maybe they won't love the cabs from the Finger Lakes in New York or here in El Dorado County. Frankly, I like all wines under the right circumstances.
I do as well. And it's just a fun thing to do, to try different wines. What I do is I have a party, I have some friends over, and this is a good way for people to try different wines that maybe they didn't like or haven't tried before, and do a blind tasting.
The really fun way to do this, to go about this, is to have, you know, if you're going to invite, say, 10 people over, is have each of them bring a bottle of wine, and then put those into bags or cover them up with a label like you have here.
Right.
And then really and truly taste through all of those wines. You may have to do them in groups, let's say, but taste through them. Have everybody make some notes. And you have some wine journals as well at epicstyle.com, right?
We do. It's a pocket journal. And with the pocket journal, you can put the type of wine, the varietal, where it came from, the price, all the information that you would need, and you can keep this in your pocket or keep it in a drawer so you have all the information for you later.
So the challenge for you folks is this. Go pick up some wines, a variety of varietals, that from the Department of Redundancy Department, a variety of varietals, and a variety of wines from different regions all over the country, all over the world. Have everybody really push the envelope in terms of trying to find something interesting and unique, and then grab something like one of these wine tasting kits from epicstyle.com and have some fun. you're going to learn very quickly that what you thought you loved may not be what you really love.
It happens often.
Of course, we always love you, Matt Dubow from EpicStyle.com. And that's a constant.
Thank you. It's always great to be here.
All right. Now we're going to take you on to a couple more wineries that we know you're going to love. It's Grape Encounters Radio coming to you from El Dorado Wine Country. We'll be back in just a second.
Just where is wine country? At Grape Encounters, we know it's coast to coast and continent to continent. Our microphones have traveled far and wide for more than 3 years on vino train trips, across a vineyard via zipline, into the castles of American aristocracy, to the midway at a county fair, into the kitchens of chefs whose culinary artistry is inspired by wine, and front and center for extraordinary tastings and pairings. Where will we go next? We're on the lookout for events, businesses, and people that embody the spirit of Grape Encounters Radio. Share your suggestions. If you know of a great place or event that we should broadcast from, or have a business or guest idea, we want to hear about it. Grape Encounters can deliver national awareness, and we're as close as an email away. Drop us a line. Write to David at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. That's David at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Experience wine country like never before with a Margarita Adventure Zipline Canopy Tour in Paso Robles on California's Central Coast. Soar over vineyards, valleys, and oak trees on four epic ziplines. And learn about the Santa Margarita Ranch's sustainable wine growing methods, diverse wildlife, and legacy as a part of California's famed Mission Trail. See why families are raving about this uniquely thrilling wine country experience. Visit margarita-adventures.com to book your tour today.
Pack your bags and join Grape Encounters Radio next week as we take you across the pond and tour some of the most fascinating European destinations. We've been talking about it for months, and now we're finally making the trek from Venice to Istanbul. We'll be visiting Croatia, the Greek Isles, Montenegro, Athens, Ephesus, and more. We'll also give our traveling listeners an opportunity to share their once-in-a-lifetime experiences with you. Wish you could join us in person, but we certainly can offer the next best thing.
The days of wine and roses.
And Grape Encounters continues with David Wilson. I have to tell you, if there was ever a trip that I didn't want to end, it's my trip to El Dorado wine country. What an amazing journey this has been. It's not like other wine countries where you just kind of go down the road and it's winery, 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 winery. You'll do a little winding down country roads to find some of the real terrific finds. And one of those is the winery that I'm at right now, which is Holly's Hill. This is in Placerville, just down the road a piece from the last stop that we were at. We're here with Josh Bendick. He's one of the winemakers here. Oddly enough, I guess for whatever reason, they like husband-wife winemaking teams here in the area, because our last stop, we had the same situation. You and your wife, Carrie, are the winemakers here.
That's right. Thank you very much for having me, too.
You guys also are from Davis, right?
I went to UC Davis. I grew up in the Bay Area. My wife and my in-laws who own the winery are from Davis.
But you guys did not meet in school, right?
No, we actually met up here working at two different wineries. She and her parents were starting Holly's Hill right before we met.
So is there competition between the two of you, or how do a husband and wife winemaking team coexist?
Well, I think we each have our assets and bring different strengths to the winemaking table. A lot of times people ask us who wins with the arguments, and generally it's the person with the strongest argument.
Do you team up on each and every wine, or do you have a part of the portfolio that you work on and she works on the other?
Well, I tend to spend more time in the vineyard, and she definitely spends more time in the winery and the lab, especially during harvest. She's running numbers while I'm outside in the vineyard driving the tractor or testing grapes.
What kind of tractor?
We have a narrow Kubota tractor.
I love Kubotas.
We have very narrow rows because we're on a steep hillside.
I was on a tractor when I was 6 years old. Love to get back on one again. So Holly's Hill really does feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere.
We're about a 15-minute drive from downtown Placerville.
Nothing's close here, right?
Well, we do have a market and a gas station and a pizza place just 2 miles down the road.
Okay.
And we like to tell people that we're only three turns from Highway 50. But it is about a 15-minute drive once you get off the highway.
I can say this, that
that no matter how I tried to plan my day in this trip, everything was about twice as far in terms of time away as I thought it was going to be. And that's a good thing, by the way, because the scenery getting to wherever you're going is really fantastic.
That's what brought me to the region, is just the beauty and living and making wine amongst the mountains and the pine trees and the wildlife. It's pretty amazing.
Talk to me a little bit about your career, because you started out not as someone who was determined to get into the winemaking business, as a lot of people are. You were interested in a completely different line of study.
I went to UC Davis for international economic relations.
Okay.
I thought I was going to go into international business. I took an introduction to winemaking class and fell in love with it. It was a lot more fun being outside in the vineyard pruning grapes than learning about politics economics.
Well, besides, when you're talking about international relations, everybody knows that wine brings people together anyway. Why did you choose to come here?
I fell in love with the region. I think the fact that it's not a huge area, that the wineries are small. While I was going to school, I was working for small mom and pop operations, and I really liked that. The area is great for a lot of reasons. We have rivers that go through with rafting. Mountain biking is huge, rock climbing. We're an hour from Tahoe. There's all kinds of sport activities that you can do there. And then going the other way, Sacramento is less than an hour, and San Francisco is about 2 hours away. So
in terms of wines here, you make a pretty broad variety of wines. And if people wanted to find those wines, can you buy them online?
Yeah, we make quite a variety of wines, but they're all within the niche of the Rhone category. So everything that we grow is from the south of France originally, from the Rhone Valley. Most of our wine is sold right here in the tasting room, probably about 90% of it. And then the remaining is either sold in the Sacramento, Tahoe markets or direct to consumers. We ship to probably half of the states in the country.
You make how much wine?
We do about 4,000 cases.
So that's kind of nice. It's amazing that so many people literally drive out here, discover it, and take it home with them. It saves a lot of money on marketing, doesn't it?
It's a different type of marketing. So we're not having to fly all over the country like the large wineries are, working the market and going door to door and selling wine. Ours is more agritourism based, where people come here and fall in love with the area, fall in love with the wines. And like you say, they can take it back to them, whether it be in Texas or New York or just down the road in Sacramento.
Okay, so it's Holly's Hill. You can find them online. It's hollyshill.com. Easy as that. They've got a good website, great wines. I can definitely tell you the wines are worth tasting, trying, and buying. And my thanks to Josh Bendick for spending a little time with us.
Thanks so much for coming.
Hey, I appreciate it. Okay, we'll be back on Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson. Okay, so through a miracle of technology, we are going to beam ourselves from Holly's Hill to the Skinner Vineyard, which is just up the street a piece. Come along with me. You are going to love the view. Grape Encounters with David Wilson and our tour of the El Dorado wine country. I am now at the Skinner Vineyards, which is in Fairplay, California. Fairplay is in the Sierra Nevada foothills. And you can see off in the distance the Sierra Nevada mountains. This area is a place that probably for most of America is not well known for wine. You don't even maybe think about it, especially if you're outside of California. What this area is really known for is the gold rush. It is where it all began. But what a lot of people don't understand is that this is also where much of the California wine business began. That was something that came out of the gold rush, because when they started to lose interest in looking for gold, it became liquid gold instead. The rest of it, as they say, is history. I'm at Skinner Vineyards in the tasting room with Chris Pittenger. He helped build this place. He's the winemaker here, the general manager here. And Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, David.
I can't even believe this view. It is completely unimaginable. As far as the eye can see, I mean, I might see a structure dotted here and there, but I think I can see for 50 miles or more, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much 360-degree view. You can see the skyline of Lower Sacramento to the west and then to the east. You can see Pyramid Peak in the southern Desolation Wilderness, part of South Lake Tahoe area. It's amazing. The views just kind of, like you say, stretch on forever. And we're perched at 2,700 feet, so we have the ability to kind of grow grapes up here at higher elevation, which is kind of unique to California.
Okay, so the first strange thing about being here is that there are pine trees everywhere. And I was given directions to get here from my B&B, which is 20-something miles away. So I'm thinking, I'll be there in a half an hour. No such luck. It was like about an hour drive, because you wind through all of this incredible real estate. I mean, it's just the most beautiful countryside, the most beautiful forested areas, lush green. But the first thing that you start thinking about is that, gosh, there's a lot of pine trees here. I've never heard of wine among the pines, because that's not something that you normally see. If you go up to Napa Valley, you're not going to see that. Well, maybe as you get up into the foothills, you'll see some pine trees up there, but not where the wines are grown. But then you break into these areas where they've cleared the pines, cleared the oaks, and planted wonderful vineyards, right?
Yeah. Back in the earlier days, a lot of this area was cleared for grazing, cattle grazing. So this vineyard in particular was. And so we have 30 acres, plantable acreage that was cleared for cattle back prior to the previous owners. So it was suited perfectly for us.
Let's give listeners a geography lesson for a second, okay? We're somewhere in between the state capital of California, Sacramento, and the Lake Tahoe area, right?
Yeah.
Is that about right?
Yeah, we're probably equidistant. We're about an hour west of South Lake Tahoe, maybe an hour and change, and about an hour east of Sacramento. So we're kind of set right in the middle and just south of Placerville, actually about a half an hour. So if that gives you a better perspective.
So let's talk about Skinner for a second. This is a pretty new winery. It was completed in 2010, 3 years ago. I have tasted through the wines here. Really, really a wonderful job. You've been in the wine business for a while, but the family that built this property is new to the wine business, but they have some deep roots, historically speaking, here in the area. So let's talk about how this all happened, because it's a great story.
Yeah, so Kevin Skinner was coming back from Tahoe and happened upon a map that showed Skinner on the map. And
like on his GPS or something?
Yeah, literally like on a topo map. And Kevin is Michael Skinner's son, and he told his parents about this great history and checked out the Historical Society, and it turns out that James Skinner was Michael Skinner's great, 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 three great grandfathers.
So they were able to actually to go over to the Historical Society, track down the lineage, and find out that they were related to the very Skinner who was a historical figure here generations ago.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a great history. James was a miner or a pan for gold back in the day. Must have done all right because he bought some land and planted to vines in the 1860s. And so we have history that goes back to 1861 as kind of the origination.
1861. This is such an amazing feat when you think about it. You have a family where the history, or at least, you know, the wine business stopped at some point a long time ago. They discover the history and they pick up where ancestors had left off.
Yeah, essentially.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much this James Skinner Winery flourished through the turn of the century. And then when the Gold Rush era died off and then Prohibition set in, that pretty much finished.
It killed it.
And then most of the wine regions were kind of Napa and Sonoma. So about 100 years went by before the Skinners kind of found out this history and then resurrected this.
That's such a beautiful story that a family would decide to pick up where their ancestors left off and take up that ball and run with it. Exciting stuff. Now, there are a lot of wineries in this particular area. In the Fairplay area here alone, there's quite a few. I mean, I passed quite a number of them, and they're all kind of nestled back. So it's not like typical wine country where you drive around and you see rolling hills just covered with vineyards. You have to kind of look for them.
Yeah, they're down drives and off the beaten path. But the Fairplay appellation itself is a pretty small one. It's one of the smallest AVAs, if not the smallest AVA.
So give us a rundown on the whole county.
Well, the county itself runs from Fairplay in the south all the way up to Camino and Apple Hill in the north part of the county. And there's probably several dozen wineries that stretch in between. And in Fairplay alone, there's probably a couple of dozen wineries by itself in just a 6-mile radius.
The thing about this area is, and I learned this very quickly when I arrived here, it's largely off the grid. The wines here are terrific. I mean, they're making great wines here, interesting wines here, and maybe some things that you're not used to tasting. But if you want to come and just sit on your cell phone all day long, you might find that the place you're staying at isn't going to have service for you. And that's a good thing because the scenery is so idyllic. The opportunity to just casually run around to these quaint wineries that are making great wines, and they're being made by really unpretentious people who love what they do, and all of the stuffiness that you might find in better known regions is absent here. It's a great experience, and it's why I'm telling you about it, because you won't be disappointed in the wine. You certainly won't know you're in California, that's for sure, but you'll have one of the most peaceful and wonderful experiences you can possibly imagine. A lot to see and do here, and a lot of Gold Rush history that you can explore and discover as well.
Yeah, the area is diverse, great for families. Coloma is where gold was discovered down in the west part of the county, and there's all kinds of activities, obviously. We got the American River, there's rafting, kayaking, fishing, hiking, you can spend a whole weekend up here and obviously just check out. That's what we like to do.
Now, we have just a minute or so left. Talk about the wines that you're making real quick and how people could access them if they'd like to try them.
Yeah, well, we have a tasting room here if you're able to get up here. We do Rhone varietals predominantly, Grenache Blanc and Roussanne Marsanne on the whites.
Sell online?
We have a website, skinnervineyards.com.
And how many states do you sell in?
A lot.
I can tell you this for sure, okay? I liked everything that I tasted, but if you're a Syrah lover or you want to really have a great experience with a Grenache, buy them. They're terrific. Where do we find the wines online?
At skinnervineyards.com, and there's an online store there.
skinnervineyards.com, and I'll tell you what, this property has got just an amazing couple of patios that overlook the most beautiful scenery, a wonderful tasting room, great wines, so they can bring a picnic, right?
We recommend it.
It's really worth it. If you're not in the area, you probably fly into Sacramento, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Sacramento is...
And it's a pretty easy drive from Sacramento to here, an hour and a half maybe?
It's about an hour.
That's
pretty
it.
Cruisy.
And then, you know, if you want to extend your vacation on up to Lake Tahoe, do that too. Go skiing. What a great opportunity. You can go skiing. You can go wine tasting. You can have fun in some of the local casinos. There's just a lot of fun things to do. But this is a trip that gets the Grape Encounter seal of approval because it doesn't get any better than this. In fact, I'm throwing myself on a way.
Thank you, baby.
Hey, Chris, I really appreciate it. It's Chris Pittenger. He's the winemaker here at Skinner Vineyards in Fairplay, California, not too far from the state capital, not too far from the world-class resort Lake Tahoe. So come check it out. Again, they're online at skinnervineyards.com. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio coming to you from El Dorado County wine country. We're heading just up the road a piece. They're going to like the next stop too, right?
Yeah, Jonathan and Susan are fabulous.
Okay, Grape Encounters continues with David Wilson. Hang with me.
Just where is wine country? At Grape Encounters, we know it's coast to coast and continent to continent. Our microphones have traveled far and wide for more than 3 years on vino train trips, across a vineyard via zipline, into the castles of American aristocracy, to the midway at a county fair, into the kitchens of chefs whose culinary artistry is inspired by wine, and front and center for extraordinary tastings and pairings. Where will we go next? We're on the lookout for events, businesses, and people that embody the spirit of Grape Encounters Radio. Share your suggestions. If you know of a great place or event that we should broadcast from, or have a business or guest idea, we want to hear about it. Grape Encounters can deliver national awareness, and we're as close as an email away. Drop us a line. Write to David at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. That's David at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Experience wine country like never before with a Margarita Adventure Zipline Canopy Tour in Paso Robles on California's Central Coast. Soar over vineyards, valleys, and oak trees on four epic ziplines. And learn about the Santa Margarita Ranch's sustainable wine growing methods, diverse wildlife, and legacy as a part of California's famed Mission Trail. See why families are raving about this uniquely thrilling wine country experience. Visit margarita-adventures.com to book your tour today.
Pack your bags and join Grape Encounters Radio next week as we take you across the pond and tour some of the most fascinating European destinations. We've been talking about it for months, and now we're finally making the trek from Venice to Istanbul. We'll be visiting Croatia, the Greek Isles, Montenegro, Athens, Ephesus, and more. We'll also give our traveling listeners an opportunity to share their once-in-a-lifetime experiences with you. Wish you could join us in person, but we certainly can offer the next best thing.
Raise this barn, raise this barn. One, two, three, four. Together we can raise this barn. One, two, three, four. Up, 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 go the beams. Hammer those joints, work in teams. Turn them around, click by the right elbow. Grab a new partner, here we go.
Now, back to what you love most, wine and Grape Encounters.
Oh my gosh, our visit to El Dorado wine country is just about over, and this is definitely a case of partying to such sweet sorrow. It's David Wilson, you're listening to Grape Encounters Radio, and we've been touring this incredibly fabulous county and visiting some of these amazing wineries that are here. There's plenty of them for you to visit, but more than that, there are some wonderful places besides wineries to go and to stay. Now, I don't know if it was just my mother. I imagine a lot of parents said to their kids over the years, what, do you live in a barn? Well,
I am now sitting with somebody who literally does live in a barn, and you can spend a few days living in a barn as well with him. Mark and Gail Hamlin run the Edenvale Inn, which is, in my book, as good as a bed and breakfast can possibly be. Mark, you didn't think you were going to be on the radio today, did you?
Not really.
Anyway, let's talk about this for a second. As I said, this property actually was a barn. And we're not just talking about, Mark, a real solid barn that's standing nicely on its own weight. This was a structure that wasn't in great shape, was it?
Parts of it were in great shape.
I mean, from the looks of the pictures that I looked at, it's like I wouldn't have walked into it, but you know otherwise.
Well, it didn't look like much from the outside, but it was a classic California hay barn. It was built back about 1918. The Williamson family was a homesteading family here, and Hector Williamson, who built the barn, was, I think, third generation. So they had a dairy farm here.
The actual substructure inside was solid and very sound.
The frame was sound, and most of the foundation was sound. Some of the foundation needed to be improved. It was, it's 28 years in process here.
I'm no kidding. Just to better clarify where here is, this is actually a Placerville, California zip code. Of course, you're so close to Nevada here and Lake Tahoe. I imagine you get as much business from people that are coming from that side of the world as coming from California and other parts, right?
During the winter and spring, we get a lot of people from Nevada.
They come over here
People that want to get out of the snow at Tahoe sometimes come over here because the grass is green in the wintertime. We almost never get snow here, just a little dusting. We're at 1,100 feet.
I am sitting with Mark in front of, or on the bank of, I should say, a pond, which you guys actually built, right?
Yeah, we built this in 2007.
And there are ponds all over the place, by the way, but the pond is absolutely idyllic. You got a rowboat that if we want, we should have done that. We should have got in the boat and done this from the boat, but maybe not. And then I look a few degrees to my right, there's a greenhouse, and then there's the barn. And what's amazing about this structure is that what they did is, I mean, imagine building from the inside out. I mean, it just really isn't done that way. You start with a foundation and you start putting things one on top of another and building outward. But the challenges of trying to create a number of really out of this world rooms inside an existing structure has to be just mind-boggling.
You make a good point. And actually, the character of the building is because it was a barn. Nobody would build an original from the ground up, as you say, in that manner. But it was a big open post and beam space. And we went to great lengths in the living room areas to preserve that skeleton of the barn, which gives it its real character. And of course, enhanced it with additional beams and fireplaces and things like that. And then the guest rooms are all modern. So it's this combination of the rustic from the beams and timbers of the barn, you know, with all the modern amenities of not bedrooms, but guest rooms that have fireplaces and soaking tubs and computerized lighting and excellent air conditioning.
Just to give you an idea, everywhere you look, there's a control panel. So you can hit one, for instance, that says romance, and a fire lights in the fireplace, the lights dim, and Frank Sinatra comes on. Actually, I added that last part.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to get Frank to come on. We'll get there someday.
How many people would you say that come here to Edenvale Inn actually come here to do wine tasting?
Well, I don't really have statistics, but more than half the people probably do some wine tasting. People that come here just for wine tasting, we certainly get those, but there's a lot to do in this area, from river rafting and the Gold Rush history and hiking and bicycling and people just getting away for a romantic getaway. And then they do some wine tasting as part of their trip here.
But the wines here, are people surprised at how good they are when they come back? They go out for a little wine tasting journey, maybe not expecting much, and coming back with their eyes wide open?
I think so, especially those that know wine and have something to really compare it to are very pleasantly surprised with the variety and quality of wines in this area.
That's a really good point. It's not the people who are amateurs at wine that are so surprised. It's the people who really know and appreciate wine who go, wow, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, this region has a lot going for it with many different microclimates and grapes planted from about 1,000 feet up to over 3,000 feet in elevation and north, south, east, west, and different winemakers, different soils. There's a lot of variety of wine and very high quality wines in the area.
I can also tell you that once you get to some of these wineries, many of them are up high, and the views that the wineries have are just breathtaking. You can see, in some cases, all the way to the Sierra Nevada mountains. So you see these beautiful forested foothills that roll on forever, and then these perfectly white mountains in the background. It's like nothing you've ever experienced before if you've gone wine tasting.
I agree. It's a beautiful area, and I love to send people out to wineries with good views. And I just had a couple this morning, was wondering what to do, and we sent them to Holly's Hill, which has a nice view of the Cosumnes River Canyon, and they're bringing a picnic lunch. And their neighbor there is Sierra Vista, and that's where you see the High Sierra snow-capped mountains.
The one thing that you'll discover, not just at the wineries, people are really friendly here, really personable. It's, you know, off the beaten path, and it's not so touristy. Everybody here seems to just love people. They'll spend a lot of time with you. The service here at Edenvale has been absolutely impeccable. The amenities off the charts, the gardens, the views, the rooms, you know, every little detail, just tremendous. And I just wanted to tell you how much of a good time I had and how much I hate leaving.
Well, thank you for the nice words there, and glad you've had such a good time here. And I would also echo your comment about the friendliness of the people and the lack of crowds at the wineries. You'll find a lot of times the owners are there pouring wine. They tend to be smaller wineries. There's no big corporate investments in wineries here, and they're family run. And I don't think anybody charges for a tasting, or if they do, they'll apply it to any purchase that you make, which is a nice benefit.
Can't beat that deal. Okay, so that's going to do it from El Dorado County. And next stop, we're on our way to Europe and bringing you grape encounters and new adventures. So next time you hear my voice, it'll be with an accent, okay? Thanks for joining us this week, and we will see you next week at the same time, but not the same time zone.